would be able to prevail against it. And it's a tribute to your Holy Spirit's work in the life of people to have them respond to the gospel. And so we come to these moments now that we spend in your word and ask your blessings on it. Teach us. May we go home changed as a result of what we hear and what we are challenged with by your Spirit. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. 1953 marked the beginning of a new era, a new age. It was that year in which Swanson developed the TV dinner. Can you think back that far? How many of you remember the first TV? Do you still have it in your freezer? 1953. It was a movement in home cooking that would revolutionize the market. Packaged as frozen single-serving meals cooked in the oven, it eventually morphed into what we know now today as the microwave meal. You poke a few holes in a couple of the compartments, or you rip back some of that cellophane to allow venting. In 3 to 5 minutes, bingo, dinner is served. Society has forever been changed because of wanting the instant. The fast-paced, self-serve generation we now live in expects and demands the immediate. No longer content to wait our turn, we jockey for position to be first. Our lifestyle has come to believe that even fast food is too slow, and that the biweekly paycheck should be received through a cash advance. We want it, and we want it now. No longer willing to wait. You rarely see a percolator anymore because of instant coffee. If instant oatmeal on the stove is too slow, you can pop it in the microwave. Instant messaging has created the possibility of real-time text-based communication right now, right when you want it. The microwave mentality has created a whole new dimension to the dynamics of the society we know. It isn't the same world that your parents or grandparents grew up in. Some obvious consequences have resulted because of this microwave mentality. Instant gratification on many fronts has created a more impatient, less tolerable society that has difficulty waiting. Impatience on the road has led to what we now call road rage. And in 1997, therapists in the United States have worked to certify road rage as a medical condition. It's already an official mental disorder. Detroit ranks as one of the top 5 cities in the nation for road rage 2009. It's been said that patience is a virtue, but many of us aren't willing to wait for it. We want it now. In our quest to discover some of the basic or core virtues that we have embodied as a Christian, we come to this virtue of patience. For sake of time, I was going to recap where we have been this year, looking at core beliefs, core practices, and some of the core virtues. But today, our topic is primarily that of patience. In our quest this morning, there are several things I'd like for us to look at as we consider slow cooking in a microwave world. Okay, technology. This was working this morning as well. And it's not, so you know what? You're just going to look at the title there. Patience. See? Not a thing. I wonder if I hit this. That is on. I checked the battery. The thing, let's see, the laser works. So, all right. Turn to 2 Peter 3:9. That's where we're going to start. three things I want to look at this morning. I want to look at the personification of patience from 2 Peter 3 and verse 9. And then we're going to jump to Proverbs 14:29, and I want to look at with you the perpetuation of patience, and then finally take a look at the perversion of patience in that passage as well. But first of all, 2 Peter 3 and verse 9. The Lord is not slow in keeping His promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Who else but God is the supreme example for us of patience? Would you agree? He has been, according to this verse, so patient with you and I in respect to having us come to know Christ as Savior. His patience. Notwithstanding all the things that we have done in atrocities against Him because of our sin nature, He has still been patient with us, not willing that any one of us should perish. Now, I'd like us to read this verse together, whatever translation you might have, but where it has the words for you or anyone or everyone, I want you to put your name in there. Okay? So as we read through this, you insert your name. So, for example, the Lord is not slow in keeping His promises. Some understand slowness. He is patient with Howard. So I want you to insert your name as we read through this out loud together. Okay? Reading again in your translation. The Lord is not slow in keeping His promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with Howard. Not wanting Howard to perish, but Howard to come to repentance. Aren't you glad God was patient with you? Aren't you glad? When you think about the time frame in which you were saved, it could have been a long time ago, it could have been at an early age, it could have been just recently, it could have been older as an adult. But God demonstrated to you His patience. He doesn't want you to perish. He doesn't want His wrath to be poured out on you. And so His long suffering has been something that He has kept so that you will not perish. We need to thank God for His patience. Now I want to read this again. But I would like for you to think of a person that you know, and could be a family member. It could be a friend, a co-worker, a neighbor, somebody. But I want you to insert their name. All right? I am going to do this on the screen. All right. There it is. So insert the name of someone that you know is not a Christian. Someone that you know has never trusted Christ as Savior. So let's read together this passage and insert that name. The Lord is not slow in keeping His promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with Don, not wanting Don to perish, but Don to come to repentance. Does God know those names? Does He hear those names come from your heart? He's not willing that they perish. Because He is patient. His wrath is one extreme of His character. On the other hand is His patience. God doesn't want people to experience His wrath. So in patience, He waits for them to be saved. He could pour out His wrath immediately. He waited patiently for Sodom and Gomorrah. And there was a time, because they would not repent, that He poured out His wrath. There was a time in which the world, all except Noah and his family, were unrighteous. He waited patiently and poured out His wrath. There's a time yet coming. We don't know when. Scripture speaks of it, and if you don't understand or believe in the wrath of God, Read the Old Testament, especially the minor prophets. Read Revelation or read Matthew 24 and see that God's wrath is real. But yet we can read in Scripture as well, and we'll look at a few passages that also speak of His patience, that also speak of His long-suffering, that in spite of all the depravity that's occurring, we see those statistics that 10,000 a day are in China alone are coming to know Christ. And yet we also see that it isn't China that's the fastest growing, it's Africa. With the reach of the gospel, aren't you glad that God's... I had some statistics here. I just started reading a book about the Under the Shadow of the Dragon. It's a story of Hong Kong. Robert Morrison in 1807 was the first missionary, first Protestant missionary to go to Hong Kong to be a missionary, to plant the gospel there. It was something like 27 years. 27 years he labored in that field and saw 10 converts. 10. Hudson Taylor would follow him, not see much fruit as well. Other examples, 14 years in West Africa, 10 years in Eastern Africa, New Zealand, it took 9 years. Tahiti, 16 years. The founder of modern missions, William Carey, labored for 7 years before his first person trusted Christ. What if God weren't patient with China? There wouldn't be millions of believers. God is patient. God is the epitome of patience. Adoniram Judson toiled for 7 years in Burma. At one point, he wrote to his supporting churches in England to have patience, and he wrote this: "If a ship were here to carry me to any other part of the world, I would not leave my field. Tell the brethren, success is as certain as the promises of the faithful God can make them." God is not willing that how many? 80%? 75%? He's not willing that how many? Any should perish. But that all should come to repentance. Now that doesn't mean that all will, and there will be a day, as we understand Scripture teaches us, that His wrath will be poured out. But yet until then, His patience persists. Turn to Romans chapter 2. God loves the world. Do you believe that? God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. For God so loved... If you think about 2 Peter 3:9 and combine it with John 3:16, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him, they match, don't they? He loves the world, and He's patiently waiting for people that you know to come to know Christ. I told you to turn to Romans, didn't I? Okay, let me follow. Let me catch up with you. Romans 2, starting at verse 4. "Or do you show contempt for the riches of His kindness, tolerance, and patience, not realizing that God's kindness leads you toward repentance? But because of your stubbornness and your unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath against yourself for the day of God's wrath, when His righteous judgment will be revealed." See, there it is. God is just, and He must punish the sin of an unrepentant world. But yet He is patient, not willing that they perish, giving them every opportunity to be able to respond to the gospel. Turn over to same book, chapter 9. you're taking notes and want to jot down a couple of other passages to look up, 2 Peter 3 and verse 15 and Jonah 4, 2. You know that story about Jonah. Jonah flees from God and because he doesn't want to go to Nineveh. And in the end, in chapter 4 and verse 2, he says, I didn't want to go because I know that you are a patient God and that you would be willing to forgive their sins if they repented. I wanted to see him destroyed. They are so arrogant. They are so filled with themselves, so full of sin. I wanted them to be destroyed. Because I knew, God, that you are patient and long-suffering, not willing that they suffer. And what did they do? They repented. Chapter 9, Romans, verse 22. What if God, choosing to show his wrath and make his power known, bore with great patience the objects of his wrath prepared for destruction? That's us. We are the ones being prepared for destruction. What if he did this to make the riches of his glory known to the objects of his mercy? That's us as well. We are the ones in which he has extended to us his mercy and grace. He prepared in advance for glory even us, whom he also called not only from the Jews, but also from the Gentiles, as he says in Hosea, I will call my people who are not my people, and I will call her my loved one who is not my loved one. And it will happen that in the very place where it was said to them, you are not my people, they will be called sons of the living God. Isaiah cries out concerning Israel, though the number of the Israelites be like the sand of the sea, only the remnant will be saved, for the Lord will carry out his sentence on earth with speed and finality. It is just as Isaiah said previously, unless the Lord Almighty had left us descendants, we would have become like Sodom, we would have been like Gomorrah. So he is expressing here his patience, but also his wrath. At one point, wrath will come. God is the personification of patience. He is the epitome of it. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We are called to help in that endeavor of God's heart to reach the peoples of the nations with the gospel. Consider that no part is too small, is it? 80 boxes can have such a vast implication in the kingdom of God because we were obedient to send them. Perhaps insignificant to us, but to those who receive it, the gift of eternal life, from a God who is patient, not willing that they perish. Raking leaves at a ranch may be a small thing to us, but yet for those boys and girls who are disadvantaged, giving them the opportunity to come and hear the gospel, perhaps for the very first time and maybe the only time, is huge in the kingdom of God. I heard out in Pennsylvania, the story of an 11-year-old girl. Who's 11? Any 11-year-olds? Adriana. 11-year-old girl. Sent a Bible to a young man in Uzbekistan. His father was a Communist Party leader. He received that Bible and he read it and he came to know Christ. God is not willing that any should perish. So what little parts we may think we need to do them, because of the vast implications that may arise as a result of our obedience to a patient God. The evidence of Scripture is very clear regarding his wrath. But we also see over and over again evidence of his patience. God is our example. Let me give you a couple of other passages to jot down. Nehemiah 9, 16 through 18. Psalm 103, verses 8 through 13, Joel 2, 13, and Nahum 1, 3. Those are great passages to see the long-suffering of God. But we also see in those passages that God's patience will turn to wrath eventually in the last days. So, he is the personification of patience. God is not willing that any should perish. It is a fruit of the Spirit that is developed in us. We don't have inherent as our character. Your kids didn't inherit patience as part of the gene pool of collection between you and Mary. Right, Paul? This is the fruit of the Spirit. It only comes in relationship when we have personally trusted Christ as Savior. For the fruit of the Spirit, when the Holy Spirit indwells us, He produces in us love, joy, peace, patience, or long-suffering. God is the personification of patience. Turn back to Proverbs chapter 14. I will work on this. Technology. You got to be like 12 or younger, I think. I don't know. Proverbs 14:29, a patient man has great understanding. Here we see the perpetuation of patience. When the Holy Spirit indwells us, God's Spirit gives to us the fruit of His nature. We become like Him, having patience. A patient man has great understanding. Patience not only means to wait a long time, it also carries the idea of steadfastness or forbearance when provoked. When someone harasses you, someone provokes you, someone eggs you on, patience is the ability to wait, not to retaliate, to restrain yourself from giving in. Jesus hung on the cross. He could have called 10,000 angels, as the song goes. But He hung there because He knew that through His patience and the endurance that He went through, He would provide for us what we could not provide for ourselves. The story is told of a man who was greatly insulted by a friend. The man wanted to immediately go and demand an apology. But a saintly friend advised that an insult is like mud. Sooner or later, if you let it harden, it'll just easily brush off. And so he took the advice of his saintly friend and waited the night out, and it was the one who had offended the other who came and sought forgiveness. When wrong, the man with godly patience will not retaliate. He will restrain himself. You may relate to the young father who strolled through the supermarket pushing a crying child in the cart. You been there? Periodically, he would stop his cart. And he would say, "Keep calm, Albert. Keep calm." There was another shopper observing this periodic or frequent display of stopping and repeating this phrase. And she admired him for his expression of patience and went up to him and eventually said, "You know, I just really appreciate so much how much patience you are displaying with baby Albert." And the man responded, "Ma'am, I'm Albert." Patience does not lash out in anger. Our passage notes that the person who is patient is filled with wisdom or understanding. And so if you want to be patient, if you want to be wise, attain patience. A Chinese historian relates the story of a family who lived a long time ago. They became famous for their happiness and freedom from quarreling. So ideal were the conditions of this family that for 9 generations, no one moved away. And so the emperor, wanting to instill this quality in the lives of people throughout, families throughout China, sent an envoy to this family to inquire about the secret of their success in having such great relationships within their family. And so the royal messenger showed up on the door and he explained why he was there, and he handed the patriarch of the family a scroll, and he said, "I'd like you to write down, or the emperor would like you to write down everything about what makes you so unique as a family." And so the old man sat down and painstakingly, slowly and accurately wrote and wrote and wrote and wrote, and Finally, he was done and he rolled up the scroll and he handed it back to the messenger. Returning days later and handing it to the emperor, he was excited about reading what it was that made this family so unique and special. And as he unrolled it, eager to see about what it was, he could share with the rest of those who were there. Repeated line after line after line after line was one word: patience. Patience. Someone has written that patience is enduring injuries inflicted by others, the calm willingness to accept situations that are irritating or painful. Have you been there? Have you experienced that? When for whatever reason someone mistreats you, or in some way, intentional or not, how do you respond? Do you choose the way of wisdom? Do you practice patience? Remember in those situations how patient God was with you. Patient doesn't surrender to circumstances or succumb to trial. Job is our example. James chapter 5, verses 10 and 11 speak about considering Job. When you think about all that Job had, the richest man in all the world, says so in Scripture, he was the envied of the people in the East. Sheep and camel and oxen, involved in industry, wool and all different kinds of industries. One day he was the wealthiest man in the world. The next day he was the poorest. Lost all his 10 children. Four of his friends came to give him some comfort, and all they did was belittle him, blaming him that there was some sin in his life, certainly that God brought all this calamity on him. His wife said, hey, curse God and die. But Scripture speaks of him as in those circumstances being the most patient man. And eventually we read at the end of the story of his life that God provided again a double what he had previously, including giving him 10 more children. Patience, long-suffering. Leonardo da Vinci wrote of patience this: it serves as a protection against wrongs, as clothes do against the cold. For if you put on more clothes as the cold increases, it will have no power to hurt you. So in like manner, you must grow in patience when you meet with great wrongs, and they will then be powerless to vex your mind. The more we need it, the more we should put on. Just like clothes, adding clothes in the cold. Scripture teaches us that God is the personification of patience. Proverbs 14:29 reveals to us that we need to perpetuate patience by adding it as one of the virtues that we clothe ourselves with. But it also speaks about its perversion. Notice again this verse: a patient man has great understanding, but a quick-tempered man displays folly. I have been on flights in which they have been canceled. That's not fun. You're in a strange city. You find out that for 70 miles around, all of the hotels are booked. And so where are you going to spend the night? In the airport. I feel really awkward, uncomfortable, when an irate passenger who needs to be on that plane comes up and demands from the attendant that they get placed on another airline. I mean, everything's grounded. A storm has blown in and no one is going anywhere. They are so impatient. I want you to look back at verses 16 and 17. Same chapter. A wise man fears the Lord and shuns evil, but a fool is hot-headed and reckless. A quick-tempered man does foolish things, and a crafty man is hated. Verse 29 says that a quick-tempered man displays folly. So do you want to be wise or do you want to be a fool? Impatience breeds foolishness. Wisdom breeds patience. This past week, I have had additional problems with my computer. I'm not attributing what happened there to what happened because of the viruses that my computer was infected with. That's operator error over here today. It's not the virus thing. But this last week, I had to take the computer back in, and it was inconvenient. Tuesday went into Wednesday. They would be done Wednesday, which turned into Thursday, which turned into Friday. So I got the call to come in and get my computer that was waiting. You know, they don't give you a number. You just have to go in and wait. And there was a lady up at the counter, and the agent on the other side said, you know, give us about another 10 or 15 minutes. We're going to be able to finish up your computer, and you can come back. You could see the contempt in her eyes and the disdain in her voice and the impatience in her demeanor when, as she's leaving, turns around and says, am I going to have to wait in line again? You see, we are so expectant. Impatience means that there's been an infringement of some kind on what I feel are my rights. So I had this virus. How would you like to be known today? Scripture says there are two when it comes to patience. You can be wise or you can be a fool. A message came up on my computer screen that a Trojan virus wanted permission to run my computer. So it gave me an option. Do you want to let this run or no? Well, of course, no, I don't. So I'm trying to click out of it. It wouldn't shut down. But it's like sin. Sin wants to gain access to operate who I am and what I do. It's a virus. I need the Holy Spirit to be that virus scan, to come and do a perpetual scan of who I am and my character and my demeanor so that I exhibit the character that I want to, so that I do the things that I should, rather than giving in to the Trojan sin that wants to come in and overpower and take control. The Trojan virus of sin wants to gain control of our life. It wants us to be angry and impatient. We need to let the Holy Spirit be the antivirus scan that will do a consistent sweep from allowing the sin of impatience to gain access and control. In order to have this kind of patience, we first, as I said earlier, must have a relationship with Jesus Christ. That is the beginning of allowing us the opportunity to exhibit the character trait of patience. A patient man has great understanding, but a quick-tempered man displays folly. So, patience is slow cooking in a microwave world. Let's pray. Lord, thanks for the day. It's been a good day. We are grateful. Grateful for your patience with us. And I ask, Father, today that if there's someone here who has never trusted Christ as Savior, today would be the day that they recognize your patience with them may end. And they need to trust Christ as Savior. And so I would ask, Father, that you would work in their heart. And for each of us who have made that profession of faith, I pray that we would evaluate our life in response to what Scripture teaches about the character of patience and look back over past examples of where we were impatient and recognize that we need to display that character that only comes from allowing the Holy Spirit to control us. And so it is today that I would ask each of us who have a personal relationship with you to evaluate in that light. And so make what steps we can to allow the Holy Spirit to control us rather than the virus of sin to take control and then tumble down into anger and bitterness and resentment and all those other character traits that display folly. So we'll give you praise, Lord, and we'll give you thanks for all you're going to do in our lives, and grateful that you're patient with us. In Jesus' name, amen.